Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, et Hashem kol goyim, shabechu kol haumim, ki gavar alenu chasdo be'emet Hashem le'olam ha'leluka. Hallelujah, et Hashem kol goyim, shabechu kol haumim, ki gavar alenu chasdo be'emet Hashem le'olam ha'leluka. La la la, odu la'Hashem ki tov. Leolam chasdo yomona Yisrael ki leolam chasdo yalala yo yomona bet aron ki leolam chasdo yomona irei Hashem ki leolam chasdo.
Yes, blessed souls, His kindnesses are forever. Blessings and greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're live because we're blessed to stay alive in this most existential of moments. You tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and I humbly assert we are the inner, higher frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 734, some after Shabbos thoughts. Blessed is our eternal creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha. Blessing upon the entire human family experience. We're talking about 7.7 billion souls gleaming and streaming into the creation, never to be disappointed, because they've been anointed with the divine image, which will help them get on scrimmage in the experience of life. This is Anti-Eugenics Radio. With Creator's help, we'll be broadcasting right now on September. Maybe drink another cup of coffee, bless his souls. Creator's help will be broadcasting right now on September 14th, 2019, starting 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, equals AKA, equals the USA, equals Unified Soul Actualization. Program content will cover, let's keep tuned in and to find out. You can call in at 347-838-8669. If you want to add to the conversation, make it slightly more organic. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peaceful and pleasantly. The tag for tonight's humble presentation, our Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption, Torah Traditions of Israel, Written and Oral, Inner Dimensions of Torah, and last but not least, the Children of Israel and the Children of Noah, collaborating to remove hatred, jealousy, and competition, which is not needed upon the face of this blessed earth. You're listening to our opening song, Hallelujah Hashem Kol HaGoyim, all the nations shall praise the Creator. These are the words from chapter 117 in Psalms, Tehillim, and it was sung by Daniel Zamir. And accompanying him was Achia Asher Cohen Aloro. And if I believe I understood the translation, the composition was composed by Rav Yitzhak Ginsburg, who lives in Kfar Chabad, one of the foremost elucidators of the inner dimension of Torah. So we're just going to let it run another 10-15 seconds and we'll get on with the show. Here we go, blessed souls. Okay, blessed. I hope you had a wonderful Shabbos. It was Shabbos Parshas Kitetze, and there were many concepts covered in the Torah portion and briefly recapitulated in a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, which we'll get to in a moment, which pertains not only to the nation of Israel, but to all the Bnei Noach, all the inhabitants of the world, called by Olam. But what I would like to do, blessed souls, is to highlight the fact that we are now in the 14th day of the Hebrew lunar calendar month of Elul, where the shining attributes of mercies are there for us to access. The Bava Cherebi in Tavshin Lamed Beis, 1972, on Chai Elul, which happened to be a Hasidic gathering commemorating the birth of the modern patriarch of the Hasidic movement, the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov of Okop, and also happened to be the commemoration of the birthday of the Baal HaTanya, Baal Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. The Rebbe wanted us to know that this is a very favorable time to adding in our acts of prayer and our acts of kindness, whether we do it in a qualitative fashion or a quantitative fashion, each one according to his or her portion. And that since this time is connected to the 13 attributes of mercy, that each midah or measurement of mercy comes through some sort of limitation and boundary. The Rebbe says, however, it doesn't have to be according to each portion that each one has been anointed with, because since we're in the time of mercies, even the definition of what is measurement and containment and restriction can be stretched out, so a person can actually achieve more than he or she originally would have been able to achieve in another month in the Hebrew lunar calendar year, going beyond the measurements. There are 13 precise measurements of mercy, which we'll be talking about hopefully in a few minutes. But again, because these are the midos of mercy, therefore we can expand out the measurements that we've originally been apportioned with. And this is just something you have to experience, blessed souls. If you try to increase your acts of kindness, if you try to intensify your prayers, if not in quality, at least in quantity, or if not in quantity, at least in quality. In this section here, the Rebbe talked about the idea as well, that each one of us should be engaged in the idea of receiving one, in regard to another person, with a shiny countenance. And this is exemplified by the famous allegory which was revealed by Rabbi Schneur Zalman of Liadi, that the whole year the king is in his castle and only certain people can go in to meet the king in his most pristine meeting places inside his castle. But in the month of Elul, the king, the Almighty, goes out into the world to receive each one of us with a shiny countenance by virtue of the fact there is a illumination of the 13 attributes of mercy. So therefore, how Creator conducts himself by illuminating the world right now with the 13 attributes of mercy, we can reflect that out and internalize it and share it with others on the most microcosmic of human experiences by greeting each person that we interact with in the day with a shiny, positive countenance. And this will be drawn down, that we should be written and sealed into a sweet new year, simply understood, with the life of the body, and how much more so with the life of the soul. That being said, I'd like to turn briefly to the book of Isaiah. We of Israel have a tradition, aside from reading the Torah portion, which again, earlier today, was Parshas Ki Tsetse, to accompany that reading with another reading known as the Haftarah. And we're in a period where we're reading specifically from the book of Isaiah, who is also known as Navi Agula, the prophet of redemption. In chapter 54, verse 8, the following prophecy was issued. I hid my face from you with little wrath for a moment, as brief as it may have been, but I will have compassion on you with everlasting kindness, so says God, your Redeemer. Chapter 54, verse 9, we see a continuation of the previous prophetic statement. For I consider this promise, the Creator tells us through the prophet Isaiah, for I consider this promise like the promise I made concerning the waters of Noah's flood, just as I swore that the water of Noah would never again submerge the earth. So I have sworn that I will never be wrathful with you and never rebuke you again. So the question is raised, why would, in the Creator's promise, would there be a mentioning of the floodwaters as the water of Noah? Well, we see from the book of Zohar, the book of Shining, there is a slight criticism of Noah, who was a tzaddik, a righteous soul. Why is that? The flood is called the water of Noah because, in a sense, it was Noah's fault. Because Noah did not pray for the salvation of his generation, which could have averted the flood. But from a deeper perspective, we are informed that the flood, the water of Noah, reveals the flood's true intent and effect. If we read the name Noah in line with his literal transition, with the word Noah, in Hebrew, Noach means tranquility, the statement, the water of Noah, is an oxymoron. Because, after all, if we look at the flood, it was the ultimate tool of destruction. It wasn't a tool of tranquility. But in truth, however, from the inner spiritual perspective, because the human beings of that time had so destroyed the purpose of the creation of the earth from the human perspective, human experience, despite the fact there was an outward destructiveness, actually served as a positive force in the spiritual and development of humanity. For through the entity of teshuvah, of repentance, there was an assuaging, there was a lessening of the flood. So therefore, the fact that Idim Yezuz in the Haftarah from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 54, the water of Noah, rather the water of the flood, expresses the inner truth about the flood that is not all evident, at least at first glance, in the account of the flood in the Torah itself. Now, another way to understand this through an allegory, or a mashal, as we say, the flood is where we feel like we're getting drowned in all our concerns and stress that most of us feel when we try to earn a livelihood, to make a living, macha ponosa. The flood came to purify reality. And actually the purpose, the divine purpose of stress, even though it seems uncomfortable at times, is to give us the option of living a life in order that we get purified and elevating to a higher levels of divine consciousness. By carefully observing, becoming a student of divine providence, Hashkacha Pratis, which accompanies us in all our efforts, as well as withstanding the ethical challenges of the workplace, which we all know does transpire in our daily engagements in whatever workplace we're in, and by yearning for divine closeness, as only those who feel farthest from it can, we come to rest to Noach on higher spiritual ground that we could have reached otherwise. And that is from a teaching from Torah Or from the third Chabad Rebbe. I should say the first Chabad Rebbe, Rebbe Shneur Zalman of Liadi. Closing out this brief presentation, blessed souls, I want to contrast two different presentations of the 13 attributes of mercy, which we mentioned before. In fact, we are in the month of mercies, and there's two basic presentations of what these mercies represent, or can be how they can be explained. So let's look at first, although it wasn't mentioned first in the Torah, it was mentioned in the Tanakh, from the prophet Micha, or Micah, in chapter 7, verses 18 through 20, where I'll read it in the English. Who is like you, Hashem? Who is like you, Creator? That is attribute. That's the first attribute of mercy. Number two, who pardons iniquity? That's attribute number two. Again, attribute number one is who is like you, O Creator? Two, who pardons iniquity? Three, and overlooks transgression? That is the third attribute of mercy. Four, to those who remain from his heritage? That's attribute number four. Number five, he does not hold on to his anger forever? That's attribute number five. Attribute number six, since he desires to do kindness? Attribute number seven of the 13 divine attributes of mercy, he will again have mercy on us. Divine attribute number eight, he will suppress our iniquities. Number nine, divine attribute nine of the 13 attributes of mercy, and he will cast into the depth of the sea all of our sins. Divine attribute number 10, he will give truth to Jacob. divine attribute number 11, and kindness to Abraham. Divine attribute number 12, as he swore to our forefathers. And divine attribute number 13, from long, days long ago. Now that was, again, as it was transmitted to the prophet Micah, who in chapter 7 was trying to reveal the comfort of the Creator in words to the nation. Because in chapter 7, verses 15 through 17, there is the promise of the redemption of Israel. So I guess I'll just read those three verses. Chapter 7, verse 15, as in the days when you left the land of Egypt, I will show it wonders. Chapter 7, verse 16, the nations will see and be ashamed of all their power. They will place a hand over their mouth. Their ears will become deaf. Chapter 7, verse 17, they will lick the dirt like the snake, like the creatures that crawl on the ground. They will tremble from their place of confinement. They will fear the Creator, our God, and be afraid of you. And the Radak mentions this is the time when the nations of the world will finally internalize the awe and reverence that is due to the Creator and also to the nation of Israel, as we will be recognized because we ourselves will be engaged in teshuvah and returning to the Creator with all our might, all of our heart, and all of our resources. But there's another version of the 13 attributes of mercy, blessed souls, which shine out as well during this month. And that is in Parshas Kisisa, after the horrible event of the serving of the golden calf. And Moses was pleading with the Creator not to destroy the nation of Israel after they had served the golden calf, a mere 40 days after they had received the eternal Torah of Creator. So here are the 13 attributes. As Moses was commanded to broadcast out into the creation, specifically to Israel, and as well to the blessed nations of the world, the Bnei Noach. Divine attribute one of the 13 attributes of mercy, Creator, Creator, the God. Attribute number two of the 13 attributes of mercy, who is merciful. Divine attribute number three, and gracious. It was divine attribute number three of the 13 attributes of mercy. Divine attribute four of the 13 measurements of mercy, who takes a long time. Divine attribute number five, to get angry, meaning Creator is long in anger, does not immediately strike back with severe judgment. Divine attribute number six, and does a great amount of kindness. Divine attribute number seven, and truth. Divine attribute number eight, he keeps his kindness. Divine attribute number nine, for thousands of generations. Divine attribute number 10, he forgives iniquity. Divine attribute number 11, and transgression. Divine attribute number 12, and sin. And divine attribute number 13, and he cleanses. The Alter Rebbe, Reb Shneur Zalman Eliade, wants us to know that these 13 attributes revealed to Moses were also a means by which, and serve as the source of our ability to return to Creator. And when we return to Creator, as mentioned in Parshas Kitisa, and the prophet Micha, our returning to Creator will allow the Creator, will not allow Creator, Creator doesn't have to be allowed to do anything, but we will access this divine attribute of forgiving our iniquities. And what could be more encouraging than that, blessed souls, that our coming close to the Creator will serve as a catalyst, an outcome of he will forgive our iniquities. So Moses, of course, preceded, he came before Micah. So there seems to me, in my humble understanding, there was a more universal message, not just to the nation of Israel, because every teaching of Torah has an instruction for all the human beings of this world, that even after the most egregious sin, their absolute rebellion against the Creator, we still can come back and return to Creator. And by the 13 attributes of Micah or Micha, I'm going to humbly suggest, just from the perspective of Torah Savora, without getting into the oral Torah traditions of our sages of Israel, that Israel had been going through a rough time at that time, Micah, and there was an encouragement for the nation to take heart that we shall be redeemed, but also it should be expected of us to access those 13 attributes of mercy, to be aroused by those 13 attributes of mercy, to want to come close and therefore be forgiven of our iniquities. And what a fine time we find ourselves right now, blessed souls, almost into the halfway point of the month of mercies, Chodesh Rachamim, the month of mercies, a mere 15 plus days before the new Hebrew calendar, lunar calendar year, 5780, also known as Tavshin Pei, the Heishnas Pela, should be a year of wonders. And the wonders shall be because we'll see within the instructions of eternal Torah that there are wonders that we all human beings can access until the revelation of the Lion of Judah, the Arya Shel Yehuda, Mashiach Tzidkenu, our righteous Messiah, shall roar out Torah Chadashim Mititetze. Torah that cannot be revealed yet is existing in the creation, but because we are not the Mashiach, the Messiah, we need Him to reveal this as a human being, clothed in flesh and blood, with all the sinews and all the limbs, born of a mother and father from the house of David and Solomon. May we see this speedily in our days, in a way of a Havachad, one love, Goral Achad, one destiny, calling for all of us, but Darchenom Darkesham, a peaceful peasant way. And I remind everyone, I remind myself before anyone else, your local international cyberspace Torah Askan, to act with Torah, I'm Jussi Goodman. I've got to be good, you've got to be good, we've all got to be good, because Ateva Tov Laetiv, nature of the good dude and creator, is the source of our goodness. And He waits so patiently. He waits with us with those mercies. And now we are in a favorable time to access those mercies. So let's access those mercies. Let's those to be continued. Hopefully you'll turn in tomorrow, 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. USA Unified Soul Actualization, to be in discussion with a very insightful human being, Jerome Sage Butler, and maybe a surprise call from you and you and you. I'm talking to all of you or listening out there to the archive version. Take care, everyone. A good week. And now let's end off with our good friend from England, David Doma. Help us get back home to the home of our soul by the advice given by him in his wonderful song, Take Care, My Son. Take care, everyone.
Like a flower.